This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This is one of three segments for the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, October 27, 2020. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Some of the school committee and central office personnel were in the council chambers. The remainder of the committee was remote, along with the public, via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I've split the almost three-hour meeting into three logical segments. The first segment covers from the opening through the superintendent's report, which in turn covers the reopening status moving from remote to hybrid. That runs approximately 52 minutes. The second segment picks up from that through for primarily the presentation and discussion on the comprehensive facility analysis. This is the longest of the three segments. This runs an hour and 20 minutes. In the third and final segment, that picks up from the completion of the analysis, covering the discussion action items and the remainder of the meeting up to where the school committee enters executive session, from which they do not return to a public meeting. That's approximately 40 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to the presentation document. Let's listen to this first segment of the school committee meeting of October 27, 2020.
Yes, the time being 7:01 p.m., I call to order the October 27, 2020 meeting of the Franklin School Committee. Meetings are recorded by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 11 and Verizon Channel 29, and also may be recorded by others. Just to let people know, we will be adjourning at the conclusion of the open session to go into executive session, and we will not be returning. And per Governor Baker's order, I would like to just read this and remind people. Per Governor Baker's executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, the public will not be allowed to physically access this school committee meeting. Members of the public can access the meeting via remote conference. The school committee reserves the right to implement additional remote participation procedures and will notify the public of these procedures as soon as is practicable. And as is our practice, I will take a roll call attendance since we are meeting remotely. So just say that you're here or present. Jennifer D'Angelo.
Present.
Tim Keenan.
Here.
Judith Bonfeffer.
Here.
Mary Jane Schofield.
Here.
Denise Spencer.
Here.
Elise Stokes.
Here.
And Ann Bergen here. Okay. And also is our custom, we begin each meeting by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, and we have some students who are here this evening from Parmenter Elementary School. And before they begin to lead us in the pledge, I'm going to tell you a little bit about them. Their principal has sent a little bit of information that I think would be very, very important to share with the entire community, because we're very proud of them. And our student presenters this evening are Abigail and Julianne Love. And to tell you a little about them, already in this short amount of time, Abigail and Julianne Love have risen to be strong role models in fifth grade. This is consistent with all earlier grades. They demonstrate a conscientious work ethic well beyond that of a typical student. Both can always be counted on to share their thinking and actively participate in all of their classes. Abigail is known for how sweet and thoughtful she is, her hardworking skills, and how she always puts her best effort in everything she does. Julianne is known for her easygoing attitude, always being a team player, and her genuine ways to include everyone. In a normal environment, Abby and Julianne demonstrate such genuine kindness and respect for their peers and teachers, and this remains evident with this new virtual environment. With their ready smiles and easy laughs, these sisters have become integral parts of a warm and productive classroom community. It is with great pleasure to have Julianne and Abigail represent Parmenter as they lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance tonight. So I'm going to ask us to rise, and I'm going to have Abigail and Julianne start us off, if you will.
They're on mute.
They're on mute, so you can unmute.
There you go. All right.
Okay, ready? Here we go. Ready? I
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We're very proud of you, as we know you, your parents are as well. And we thank you for coming tonight and being part of our meeting. Thank you both.
Great job. I just want to say great job, girls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, that was a lovely biographical presentation. You spoke from your heart about what these girls mean to the school. So thank you so much for writing this for us. Okay, and it's also customary we begin with a moment of silence. If we could pause just for a moment of silence, please. Thank you. And now we review of agendas. Does it look okay to everybody? Any issues?
Sure does.
Okay, thumbs up, good. Citizens comment, anyone wishing to speak to anything that is not on the agenda this evening?
I do.
Tim raising his hand?
Yeah.
Tim?
Yeah, I have something that's not on the agenda that I just wanted to bring up related to COVID communications. And so what I'm hoping for is that in a future meeting, we can talk about the COVID communications and maybe expand some of the policies we have on to provide more information to parents that I think would be helpful. So this is my understanding of how communications are going out right now. I don't think I'm missing anything, but I think the superintendent will obviously correct me if I'm off on this. My understanding is that we, and I'm speaking as a parent here, we will get notified if somebody in the school of our child has tested positive or somebody in the school has tested positive. However, we will not receive more specific information or notification if somebody in the classroom of my kid has tested positive. So because that's not going to meet the CDC criteria for close contact. And what I'm hoping can happen is, even though it does not meet the criteria for close contact, I would feel more informed if I was notified not only that somebody in the school had tested positive, but the further information that somebody in my kid's classroom has tested positive. I think that's something that would be I think that would be important information that I would like to know as a parent. Even if they were not sitting directly next to the person, it could trigger in my mind potentially the idea to be more vigilant and paying attention to symptoms or even proactively testing my kids. So that's what I'm hoping for. I think the communications right now, we are not notified if somebody in the classroom is testing positive. And I think it would be a good step if we changed our policy to notify people when someone in the classroom is testing positive.
Thanks, Tim. Now, FHS student reps, who's representing, who's here this evening? Because I can't really quite see from where I am.
Yeah, hi. Akash Eddy here again, senior class president.
Yes.
One of the reps.
And who's with you also?
I'm Katie Garrigan. I'm the senior class treasurer.
Right, Katie. Okay, great. Would you kind of give us an update? I know we're going to be asking you to tell us more about how things are going at the high school. We know it just started, so we're not going to put you on the spot yet and give you a chance to get used to how things are going. But why don't you share what you'd like to tell us about what's happening at the high school, what's going on, anything you'd like to share with us as a committee and the community?
Yeah, so right now we're kind of in that transition phase from this remote model to the hybrid that's going to be starting next week. Generally, the consensus that I've been getting is people are excited to get back. And it seems to be that people have a pretty clear idea of what's going to happen. Everybody seems to know their cohorts and kind of know the structure of the day. Now, how things are going to run inside the classroom is something that I think people are wondering about. But on Monday, I actually went in with Panther News, which is like our school news team, and we made it like an instructional video about how the day-to-day operations will work and how desks are spaced and how you enter the cafeteria and leave. So hopefully when that video is released, there'll be some clarification on kind of like how things will run inside the school. And then another quick note I just wanted to add, I know seniors were given the opportunity to take an SAT during the school day a couple weeks ago. And I just want to say that was really appreciated by the senior class for the school to adapt to the situation and the school committee because it made us feel pretty it was nice to feel that like the school committee was working with us and trying to get us through this college admissions process, which has been so hard already. So that was nice.
That's great. Katie, you want to add anything?
Yeah, similar to what Akash said, I think the student body is definitely very appreciative of everything that the school is doing for us so far. Obviously, I know we don't have as much information because we haven't started just yet, but hopefully next meeting we'll have a little bit of more about how that adjustment is going to the hybrid model. And I think another thing that students really appreciate is that the date was moved up. Even if it was just by a few weeks, I think students are eager to get back in the building. So we really appreciate everyone's efforts in getting us in there a little bit earlier.
Excellent. Any sports updates? Any how things are going? It seems like some of the teams are doing really well.
Hello, I didn't introduce myself earlier, but my name is Yvonne Goywan, the junior class.
Oh, okay.
So I'll provide a short update on sports, I guess. It's been doing all athletics. I've been doing a great job. I think, especially with the way the Hockamuck League is scheduled, we're playing the same team two times a week in each sport. I think that's easier and also it's more effective. And players are liking, I've spoken to them. The coaches are great. And I actually broadcasted a game earlier today, field hockey on Franklin TV, and it went well. We did it over Zoom. So it's been going really good, I think. And I'd also want to thank Principal Hannah and Mr. Angelo, the athletic director. They've done a great job advocating for the student athletes to really have this opportunity to play and have a postseason, even if it's only in the league. And even out of season, for example, I'm on the football team, and we just got permission from the state and the Hockamuck League coaches to begin practices in the next coming week. And they're not helmet practices, not shoulder pad practices. They're just, you know, conditioning to make sure that we're staying together as a team. And I think that's really healthy for us, you know, to be together with like our friends and people that we like and stay healthy at the same time.
That's great. That's so helpful to hear that. And just having been able to go and watch some of the games, the joy, the absolute utter joy on the faces of the kids and how diligently they're adhering to the masks and following all of the guidelines. And that's credit to Tom Angelo, the coaches, and certainly the students who have been so cooperative. I didn't know if any of the committee members wanted to add anything, any comments or anything there. Looks good. Okay. Thank you so much, all of you, for participating tonight. Dr. Hearn, superintendent's report.
Excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. Hi there. My name is Megan Benson. I'm here with my husband, Eric, and we actually were interested in participating in the citizens' comments portion, but I don't know if it's limited to one or if you just didn't realize there was.
Oh, no, you were absolutely. Let me just read it because I didn't. I just kind of jumped in and I certainly you are certainly able to do that. If it's not an item that is not on the agenda, we are going to be talking, I think, about the reopening plan as well in your superintendent's report.
I'll have an update.
Update on that. Anyway, so just let me read it and then you're certainly welcome to speak, okay? I just want to read it. So in the spirit of open communication, the committee will hold a public participation segment about matters not related to an agenda item at the beginning of each regular school committee meeting. The committee will listen to but not respond to any comment made. A committee member may add an agenda item to a future meeting as a result of a citizen comment. The committee will hear public comments related to an agenda item when the chair deems appropriate during the committee meeting, which is certainly fine. Topics for discussion during the meeting must be limited to those items listed on the committee meeting agenda for that evening. Okay, so that being said, we're asking people to limit comments to 3 minutes, certainly the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. So again, just given the fact that we don't know exactly what will be included in Dr. Hearn's report right now, but our main concern and question is basically whether or not the kids, particularly in the younger grades, are going to have the opportunity to return to school in person, more than 2 days per week. And then also, like, if there's any contingency for that. If so, what the metrics might be, just to give parents an idea, you know, number one, if it's even being considered, and then number two, what we can look for as parents, you know, in terms of like COVID metrics, and all of that. So that's our big thing, to know if there's anything specific.
Thank you for sharing. Okay. Okay, moving right along, Dr. Hearn, superintendent's report.
Sure, I have a few things to share this evening.
I couldn't get off mute fast enough there. My name is Will Ertl. Similar to what Megan and Eric just kind of reviewed, I mean, my question to the committee is, how do we get a spot on the agenda possibly for next week, unless Dr. Hearn's going to run through it here in a second, that talks about specifically what the requirements are to be able to get some of these younger kids back in school. As a parent for a first grader, it's extremely concerning reading some of the things coming out from most academic journals around the importance of having in-person learning for kids who can't read yet, and that foundational education strain. What is the district's plan, or what are the metrics that we need to meet as a community to be able to start getting those kids back in full time for education, like some of the towns in the surrounding area, like Medway, have been able to do?
Thank you, sir.
Oh, and I think someone has their hand raised.
Oh, okay. Jacqueline?
Yes. Hi, I'm Jacqueline. I just wanted to raise my hand. I came to the meeting today to make a similar citizen's comment. I have two kindergarten students, actually. So I just wanted to come on and urge the school committee to possibly reach out to kindergarten parents and first grade parents, although I don't have a first grader, to gather more information on how they feel that the 2 days is going, 2 days in school, and how doing 3 days remote is going. And although it would be great to get the younger kids in school more days, even explore the possibility of changing the days where they're remote, because like was mentioned by the last person, you know, we're talking about kids who can't read, can't tell time, can't use a computer. So their school day is 100% dependent on a parent or caregiver sitting beside them. And, you know, just in what I've logged for the remote days at home, I work full time from my house right now. So it's about every 16 minutes I have to open a link or close a link. So although it would be great to get into the school more days, I would also like some communication and feedback, like from the whole kindergarten and first grade Franklin community, to really see if there's other things we can do to make these days easier for the kids and the parents.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it very much. Anyone else? Citizens comment?
I'm just going to echo the last three speakers. I'm a parent of a first grader as well as the first two, and it is a struggle, to say the least. His engagement is fleeting because they are being asked to be on the computer, and I've tracked it, an average of 4.5 hours a day, which is far too much for a 6 and 7 year old to be on the computer, and they cannot navigate it on their own. They need the parents to navigate it, as the last speaker just said. And as I know, most of the parents are also working. So our productivity for parents and children on the three remote days is very low, minimal at best. And the 2 days in are not buoying them enough to get them through the 3 days home anymore. And it's concerning how far these kids are going to be behind if it continues that they are home 3 days of the 5 day week. So
thank you.
Echo.
We appreciate it.
Getting thank this you. On broader. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Dr. Hearn, superintendent's report.
So I have a few things to share with the committee and the community this evening. I want to first start out by acknowledging that October is National Principals Month. And this is not to take anything away from our assistant principals, who I will also mention, they do have their own designated week later on this year.
They don't get a full month, they just get a
week?
They
get a week.
All right, that's good. Okay.
And the principals get a day later on in the year.
Okay, very good.
But I do want to make sure that we honor and recognize our principals as October comes to a close. They are instrumental leaders in all years of their schools. However, we know that this year is like no other, and their steady, calm, and courageous leadership is helping the entire community provide children what they most need: social and emotional growth, academic skill development, and support for basic needs such as food and agency services. This is a time when we're taking nothing for granted. Every aspect of our school operations have been upended, and the principals, along with the talent of the committed and dedicated assistant principals, have rethought everything from instruction to arrival and dismissal, attendance, breakfast and lunch, hallway traffic, code of conduct, supplies and materials, staffing, and much, much more. So I didn't want October to end without us saluting our principals and the assistant principals for all that they are doing to support students, families, and faculty and staff. It has been a celebratory couple of weeks, and some may say that these folks are working tirelessly. They are not. I will say that the staff and administrators, including our principals, are working Herculean hours in order to do what we are doing in opening schools this fall and doing so in a hybrid way. So I want to be sure before I share some celebratory pictures of what teaching and learning has been looking like as we've transitioned to hybrid in the older grades 2 through 8. I wanted to make sure that I acknowledge and recognize the efforts that are going on behind the scenes that may be unnoticed, because I think people are doing a fantastic job, but maybe unnoticed in terms of the workload. And I'll share a little bit more about some of the ways we're looking to provide some relief with things like professional development and how we're structuring that in order to make sure people have the time that they need. But first, I do want to share a couple of images from our schools this week. And if we could turn on the projector. So I want to thank Anne-Marie Tracy. I took a few of these photos, and Anne-Marie Tracy also went around and took some photos of teaching and learning in elementary and our middle schools. And at the next meeting, I'll bring some photos from the high school. I think it's up on Zoom, so I'll just speak to it there. This first image is an image from the Keller Elementary School in the interior walkway with tape denoting one each side of the hallway. And the hallways at Keller have been set up to be directional based on kind of one aisle going in one direction, the other aisle in the other direction, with some snazzy panther decals on the floor spaced 6 feet apart to help with that physical distancing. And just making some observations, I did notice, I think the older students are a little bit more self-aware about what that distance looks like as they're arriving into the schools. But that is an image for you. And each school is doing that slightly differently depending upon their physical space. Here are a couple elementary pictures in the hybrid setting, and I juxtaposed these pictures together just to show one in terms of students sitting at their desks spaced 6 feet apart, and depending upon the school, I would say, you know, on average we're getting about 10 to 12 desks in each room spaced 6 feet apart. And you can see the educator in the front of the room, I think, doing some instruction with the children. And you'll often see in the images a computer screen with the teacher to be connecting with the students who are remote at home at the time. But there is also opportunities, and we keep these connections kind of limited in terms of time, but there are spaces where our younger learners may be in closer proximity to teachers for a short duration of time, but everybody is masked hand hygiene is in place. And so it does have a regular look and feel of school. Some additional photos, some support. Some students are on computers in the classroom setting, although we are trying to maximize that in-person time as well. And so some of our younger students would not be on Chromebooks during the school day during their instruction, which is shown in the bottom right as they engage with the teacher in teaching and learning. Here's some photos from middle school. So this is from Horace Mann, and Horace Mann has some desks set up 6 feet apart in the gymnasium, and this is one of their lunch sites. They also have lunch in the cafeteria where students are sitting in desks. And I had a chance to visit the lunch there last week, and things were rolling right along. Students were really happy to be back in school, lots of smiles, and again, a feeling of celebration to have students in the hybrid setting. And then in the bottom right is a science class. The students are using their new Chromebooks, which are being distributed this week. And some initial feedback that we've had related to those new Chromebooks is that the processing capability of them is improved. And so some of the technical glitches, not all, but some of the technical glitches have been working themselves out with the updated equipment. And it may be hard to tell, but the students who are remote at home are participating. They're in a Google Meet at the time, and there is an adult helping to facilitate some of the instruction there. This classroom is working on a project related to Darwin's finches. And then lastly, I took some photos from a really remarkable physical education class at Horace Mann last week. I also saw a PE class at Annie Sullivan this morning. Students are coming in. The gym floor has markings so that everybody can be distanced. The teacher had them do a warm-up for the day. The teacher had them talk a little bit and gain some social interaction. Meanwhile, she was going back and forth to her computer screen, engaging with the students who were remote at home for hybrid and giving them their asynchronous assignment for the day. And just the incredible energy that she put into this lesson. She then took the students from the gymnasium and brought them outside and led a modified lesson related to team building. Had an opportunity to see how they were safely using equipment. So everybody had their assigned piece of equipment and how they were cleaning it afterwards. But it really has changed how instruction looks, and things take longer and there's more to do. I want to be sure to be celebratory while also recognizing some of the many challenges that are going on in the in-person setting. But congratulations to our educators and staff, and we're so happy to have our students back. Okay. So that brings us to a few other things. I wanted to give the committee and the community an update related to the budget. This may come up a little bit later tonight in information matters as it relates to a budget subcommittee meeting that we held. But recently, Governor Baker refiled the FY21 budget and proposed his latest FY21 budget based on level funding Chapter 70 and local aid at the FY20 numbers. With a small increase for inflation. And that has been the basis for the interim budgets under which we've been operating, which extend through October. And I think what is anticipated is that there will be another interim budget and then a final FY21 budget once the legislators work out the budget. But the governor's budget is, you know, kind of typically what leads us off. And that's what he has put out on the table. So despite the decreased revenue at the state level, the governor's message and what we're hearing from legislators is around maintaining a commitment to schools and local government aid during this most difficult time, and a plan to use funds from the state's rainy day fund or from a possible second federal stimulus in order to support FY21. So while things could happen, we're cautious and optimistic that this is good news for the rest of FY21 and the school department's budget. And that some of our worst fears around further budget cuts don't appear to be immediate. State budget isn't finalized and we'll keep everybody informed. I think we are anticipating FY22 to be a challenging year, and we will be working with the budget subcommittee and of course you to get that process underway shortly as we think about the budget workshop, which would be the first step, and that's coming up soon. I want to talk a little bit about school reopening and some of the metrics that we are examining include the average daily cases per 100,000 and the percent positivity rate. The trend in Franklin, much like in Massachusetts, has been an increase in numbers. However, Franklin remains under the 8 per 100,000, which would indicate that's the distinction between a yellow designation and a red designation. And so I will continue to suggest that we move forward with our hybrid plans and bring the high school students in on Monday. That is consistent with actions of other districts and going to a red status wouldn't immediately necessitate from the Department of Ed's perspective a remote only setting. We're advised to consider 3 weeks worth of data, and we're also advised to consider where the cases are coming from and what is happening, the pattern that's happening in many communities, but not all, but many communities are seeing clusters of cases related to particular facilities, perhaps a senior living home or other facilities, or really localized clusters of cases that are kind of skewing the data in general. And so I would continue to look forward to bringing the high school in November 2nd. I think it would be, I want to acknowledge all of the comments tonight related to our youngest learners, kindergarten and grade one. I don't want to speak off the cuff, and I think it would be a little premature, but I do want to bring all of that feedback back to our administrative team, talk with our principals about what they're seeing, understand from educators what they're seeing as well. I think we're all, you know, kind of rowing in the same direction. We all have the same set of goals around making sure that children are getting a high quality educational experience that is developmentally appropriate. And so I want to kind of take that input back. We do have some space limitations. We have some staffing limitations. And so it's not a simple flick of the switch, but I am also aware of some of the conversations that are happening in other districts and some of the ways they're looking across the developmental grade spans. So thank you for the input and feedback, and I will follow up with more specifics, and I'll talk with Dr. Bergen about the best, kind of the best forum to do that. In terms of communications, I thought that I might have more of an update tonight, but I will talk about this just to put it on the table with awareness around the Center for Disease Control's new guidance related to what a close contact would be. Mm-hmm. We are, so that came out recently within the past few days, but we are awaiting further guidance from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health and the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education regarding any advised changes to that definition here locally within the state. So we just had a conference call with the commissioner today, and there was no clarification or confirmation there. It was stay tuned, more information to come. So I will keep you updated on that, and you know, would be interested as we always are in making sure that our communications are on point and providing helpful factual information to the community, ultimately with the goal of keeping everybody healthy and safe, while also protecting privacy as well. We'll also be taking the comments related to that under consideration and be thinking about our communications in that regard. The last thing that I want to mention this evening is related to professional development preview, and also where we're looking to provide a bit of relief for our educators who are expressing just how much planning is going into teaching in this environment. Mm-hmm. So our next professional development day is next Tuesday, November 3rd, which is election day. And we have a full day of professional development. We are going to allow faculty to have the option to report to schools for PD or to work remotely. We think that that will also help ease traffic at Franklin High School and the Horace Mann Complex for parking as well. So we'll exhibit some flexibility there. And we think that that's one way that we can provide a bit of relief to teachers by giving them that choice. Recognizing that teaching in hybrid and remote environments require new skills and significant planning, we are providing professional development opportunities that allow educators to reflect on their initial experiences so far and time and guidance to plan future curriculum, assessment, instruction, and support of students. This will occur in academics across all subject areas, as well as social emotional learning and with our guidance department. We do have some specific areas that we're focusing on, in addition to sort of this broad goal. The illustrative math pilot teachers will be having some training and planning around the illustrative math program, which is in elementary. Middle school social studies teachers will engage in training and planning specific to new social studies curriculum and materials. Our digital learning integrationists will provide technology training sessions throughout the day for educators to choose to take. And our nurses will be attending a workshop related to supporting students' mental health during the COVID-19 pandemic. We are also looking at a similar model to what we're doing at the elementary level. So at the elementary, our teachers have Wednesday afternoons to provide them with the common planning time where they can collaborate and plan. And we'd like to incorporate an element of that for middle school and high school teachers so that they also have that additional time on Wednesdays. It would mean more asynchronous learning for the, it'd be a revised schedule. So it would still be a structured day. It wouldn't be a reduced day for students, still be a structured day. With asynchronous learning in the afternoon, where students would be more independent. Mm-hmm. But we really think that the teachers could use more planning time, and it's a model that other districts have been employing as well. Happy to take any questions.
Let's just go through, and if you have no question or comment, committee members, just pass, but I wanna make sure we have, everyone has a chance. Jennifer, Jen D'Angelo, any questions, comments for Dr. Hearn?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Hearn, thank you for your update. Just one piece when we're working on the update for the reopening piece, is there any way to incorporate some parent feedback in the form of a survey to kind of address some of those concerns and give us a well-rounded viewpoint of how it's been going so far and engaging all stakeholders? That would be helpful.
Thank you.
Okay. Tim Keenan?
Yeah, I'm curious. So some of the community comments that came up about the youngest kids were referencing towns that were able to get kids back 5 days a week. And so I'm curious, I'm assuming that other towns have similar space limitations for classrooms. So how they've been able to get around that, and like to what extent do the space limitations just eliminate the possibility of 5 days a week given the guidelines that are in place?
So I think I could do a better job with a little bit
more prep work and kind of digging into some of the specifics a little bit better as it relates to other towns, but just in sort of a cursory review of our classroom spaces, some of ours are smaller and have a smaller capacity than others, even within our own district. So it would be a bit of a juggling act. There are also, well, again, I don't want to misspeak related to, but I can provide more information in the next update.
Anything else, Tim? All set?
All set, thank you.
Okay, Judy?
Not at this time.
Okay, Mary Jane Schofield?
Yes, I have a question. Okay, regarding the budget development for FY22, I just want to confirm that somebody from the school committee budget subcommittee is at least attending the town council budget subcommittee meetings and, you know, with the FinCom as well. Because there was a comment at a town council meeting a few weeks ago that they had a budget subcommittee meeting and they had questions about schools, but there was no representative from the schools there. So working that out?
We always have the joint budget subcommittees with the FinCom and the town council. Those are scheduled regularly, right around budget time.
Yeah, I'm not aware of anyone that has been.
Yeah.
So why would the town council be saying that somebody, you know, from, you know, it would have been helpful for somebody from the schools to be there?
Yeah, that's a good, we'll have to investigate, MJ, because we always.
Not at the town council, not the joint budget subcommittee, but at the town council budget subcommittee, where they had questions and they would have appreciated having somebody from the schools there. And I had mentioned this to you beforehand, I thought that you were going to make sure that somebody from the school budget.
In responding, MJ, we always attend the joint budget subcommittee, so that one I'm not aware of. So in terms of if there were an interest in having us at a meeting, that we would have been contacted by Tommy Mercer to invite us to come and partake. We don't usually get involved in those unless it's the joint budget subcommittee, which happens, we go at least 3 times a year around budget time. And the budget subcommittee usually attends that. So that one I don't know, because we would be invited by the town council if they wanted us to attend the meeting. So that's all the information I have on that. I don't know if Sarah, if you have any other information on, if Jamie Helen asked that there be school committee representation at a town council budget meeting, or we don't usually attend their meetings. They don't come to ours either.
So, okay, it's all about an invite.
As far as I know, MJ, but we'll find out. I don't know.
Okay.
Denise?
That's it.
Do you have anything?
I did. My first question was about teachers' devices. I was just wondering, I know that all the new Chromebooks came in, and that's great, amazing. My son is looking forward to picking his up on Thursday when he finally gets to school. But I know that all of the new Chromebooks don't really mean anything if the teachers' Chrome or their devices are constantly crashing. So I didn't know if there was a plan in place to replace the teachers.
Yeah, So both, I think, will be critical to ultimately helping this run more smoothly. I think the Chromebooks will help, but that will just be that much more helpful. And so devices that are older than a certain threshold, I couldn't tell you the make and model off the top of my head, but a certain make and model from a certain threshold of time are scheduled to be replaced, and replacement devices have been ordered. I don't have a delivery date estimated, but they were available and in stock, according to the director of technology.
Okay. And then just to kind of piggyback off of what Tim said about the COVID communication, I know that you had spoken about this in an email you sent to the community. still think it's important for the entire community to be made aware of any kind of cases, just because I know a lot of students interact with kids in other schools at, say, after school care or sports, other activities. So I'm just wondering if, I know we don't want to inundate people with emails. I just think that it's important to be open with what's going on in the schools.
Sure. So there's two things that I would say related to that and the letter that I sent out. One was a concern around so many messages and, mm-hmm. and sort of people turning important information off when there's an alternative way to find out what's going on sort of with the broader perspective, which is the weekly Department of Ed report. But the more I think about communicating more broadly, I do also worry that there's two pieces around the connection that students may have outside of their school setting. Mm-hmm. If students are contacting or in contact with a potential positive or a positive case outside of the school setting, there would be a separate contact tracing mechanism that would be in play to make sure that people are informed based on a soccer game or other events that may happen. And so the public health nurse that is designated for Franklin would take that up. Mm-hmm. And if that's happening outside of the schools and I'm sending a message out that says you're not a close contact, I'm a little bit worried about also the accuracy of that information when all I know and with our sort of digging into the scenario and digging into the situation is what's happening within the school setting. And then also kind of erring on the privacy side, mm-hmm. Who needs to know what. And so I don't think there's any easy answers, and I know the districts are doing it slightly differently, but those are some of the things that have been, that I've been weighing as I think about how broadly to communicate. So kind of combined with accuracy, privacy, and then alternate means of finding out what's going on in the district, because we are reporting cases to the Department of Education and they're cataloging those if the individual has been in the building. Mm-hmm. The community does have access to the broader level of communication, but not in the immediate moment.
Thank you for the clarification. And then I just have a
sure,
comment,
go ahead.
If that's
yeah,
okay.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And I wrote it down because I want to make sure I get everything correct in what I'd like to say. I just want to say thank you to our teachers who are giving 110% every day. You are doing your absolute best under extraordinary circumstances, and we recognize your efforts and your commitment to your students. In a pre-coronavirus world, you already had to deal with an array of challenges. Now you're dealing with the threat of getting sick, learning new digital technologies, fending off Google Meets interruptions, and juggling in-person and online classes. Our admin staff should also be commended for being so flexible and for jumping in to take on more responsibilities every day. I know nothing I've said just now will change the challenges you face, but I hope this note of appreciation lifts someone's spirits today. You're providing us the hope that we all need right now. Thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you.
Well said, Denise. All set?
Yep.
Elise Stokes?
Yep. First of all, thank you, Denise, for saying that. It's so important. Sarah, I look forward to hearing more about if the district will consider increasing in-person learning time for kindergarten and first graders also. And then I just want to say thank you for including the photos in your superintendent's report today. I think it's really helpful for us to see what schooling looks like. And hopefully we can see more of those as things continue to develop. Thank you.
All set, Elise? All set? Good. Okay. Sarah, I just had a question in terms of, I know we're having the school committee, because MJ requested, which was really a wonderful idea, that the digital learning integrationists are going to be doing a workshop, a presentation for us, so we as school committee members can see just how this is working, which is really kind of a neat. They're giving their time to do that, and it's great for us. And that was MJ's suggestion, and very much appreciated. That's going to be tomorrow evening. But I had a question. I know the digital learning integrationists deal with teaching and learning, but the other side to technology, given the demands, I was just curious in terms of the needs of the system and where we might come in as a school committee in terms of support. The physical stuff when there's a glitch with a microphone, or when Google Meets there's trouble, or there's the breakout classrooms is sometimes trouble, and teachers are trying to deal with the physical stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, it was tough enough before COVID, I just know from it being in a school, and when there was a problem with technology, I couldn't help. Just to see what the needs are there, is that something that you need more support from, you know, in terms of a budget situation, or is there enough out there so when these issues happen that people can help them?
So I think that we have not added much to our technology department, and our technology department is shared with the town, and this has added a whole new level of stress to that department, both from the schools and then also, I think to a lesser extent, but there is also pressure on the town side with respect to having to not only think about the school environment, but also think about all of the infrastructure, for example, in this building, as well as other town buildings, mm-hmm. and pivoting everybody to working remotely back in the spring, and then allowing for that to continue to happen going forward in the event that we need to close again or quarantine, but we can still be productive and working from home. In order to respond to that, we have contracted with a service to provide remote support to families, students, and our teachers who are remote in order to add an additional layer of tech support, and some communication information has gone out in conjunction with the new Chromebooks in order to provide an additional measure of support that will free up and allow the techs who work in our buildings to be more in tune to some of those glitches that happen that are more hands-on and are more in person for the students who are in person and the teachers who are working within the buildings. But I think we're gonna needing to carefully evaluate the tech support that we have as we think about FY22. And think about, you know, is the support that we have working from sort of that hardware standpoint. I think the digital learning integrationists, we heard today at the reopening monitoring team about the tremendous way that they're supporting teachers and educators at this time around technology and software and new tools, and how to translate some of their tried and true practices into the online and hybrid setting. You'll see some of that tomorrow night. That combined with the tech support are essential to making this work. So we're carefully evaluating both. Mm-hmm. I would note too that there will be a particular focus in tomorrow night's presentation related to remote or remote when hybrid for kindergarten and first grade, you know, kind of our youngest learners. That will be kind of a special area of focus. So they'll talk about remote and hybrid across all of the grades, but they also know that kindergarten and grade one is a particular area of questioning to understand a little bit more about what that looks like, you know, in light of the developmental age of the children.
And I just one other little comment. I was noting the illustrative math professional development, and just happened to be doing just a little bit of research to see that illustrative math is probably one of the most highly rated math programs in the country. And I said, Franklin has it, you know, and it's in middle level, it's in the high school, and it's going to be like this whole. So that's really good. I mean, I think it's important for, as much as we're dealing with all of this awful stuff, mm-hmm. and like you say, the stress the teachers are under and the principals are under and how hard everyone's working, is that this stuff is still going on, you know, and we have to keep remembering that. But I just couldn't believe the ratings of that math program and, you know, the real world applications. And so that was good. Anyway, just when I heard that, I said, oh, good. I'm so glad that workshop's going on. So anyway, that was it for me. Anything else, committee members, that left out or anywhere before we move on? Okay.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.